Hey, everybody. I'm here at the Greater Purpose Men's Conference. I'm Pastor Shannon Williams. We brought our set here to be a part, as you can see, and we've got with us the main guy. This is the man responsible for this awesome event. And so I want to introduce to you Bill Ward. Bill, it's glad to have you here.
All right.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah. Do that. I got to do this.
Well, you got to be talented.
So ambidextrous.
That's right. Just switch it up.
But I got to correct you right off the bat.
Yeah.
This is not the main guy. The main guy, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The main guys are these amazing guys that have come and put this together because they've worked tirelessly for the last couple of days, including you guys last night getting set up.
Yes.
We appreciate you bringing the podcast materials here.
This is fantastic.
But I do have a problem with that. I can't bring my podcast stuff.
Okay.
Because my studio is not movable.
Well, you got your Cubs room.
Right.
If y'all don't know, yeah. Bill has his own podcast, and I've been on it
the Greater Purpose Podcast.
Yeah.
But we can't carry that in here. So what we did do, we did bring the chair, the podcast chair. All right. So we got that. But no, this is great.
Well, we want to hear what's your vision for this. You know, this is the fourth year that you guys are doing this. And, you know, I know a lot of work goes into this, but what is your heart? What is your vision? What's the reason why you put so much work into this?
So the original vision was the guys here were supposed to go, South Gastonia Church of God men were supposed to go to a men's conference. They moved the conference from spring to fall. We couldn't do that. So a couple of us got together and said, well, let's do a small conference on our own. And that's kind of what we did, by the inspiration of God through prayer, through a lot of hard work, et cetera, that kind of stuff. These guys here have come together, not just South Gastonia, but multiple guys from other churches and other counties and other towns have come together over the last 4 years. Even some guys out of state have come and given their time, coming here to inspire and motivate and encourage men. Similar to what we try to do on the podcast, which is bring guys together, let them know.
That's right.
God has a purpose for you.
Yeah.
He has a place for you to plug in, and you have no excuse not to. So come here, and you may be inspired to find that purpose.
That's okay. Right. Well, there's going to be lots of different speakers today, and there's going to be people singing. So this is all free.
Yeah.
And so I want to let people know this is a men's conference. And by the way, there will be no stripper poles to open up this men's conference.
None of that.
I haven't seen one set up yet. We're not bringing out a surprise later.
No surprises. No surprises. No juggling axes. No. We may have cheeseburgers, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But no.
Hey.
Refreshments. Yes, refreshments.
Right.
Yeah, and we wanted to do free for multiple reasons, but, you know, some guys can't commit to that. To the payment for some of there are great men's conferences out there, but you know, to have to pay and drive and travel and do all that kind of stuff. So on a smaller scale, we're trying to keep it affordable. We had some great sponsors this year. I can't mention all of them. There are so many. You guys are one of them.
Yes.
Some great sponsors that allowed us to buy some t-shirts and some other materials that these guys can go home with. One, Urban Alternative, which is Tony Evans, donated almost $3,000 worth of Kingdom Men Rising books.
So that means every man that's
every man that
here
walks in the door
will get one of those
get
books.
A book.
See, so, that's awesome.
That's crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What we see is God really blessing
absolutely,
this.
Absolutely. Yep.
God really bringing this together.
Yeah.
But I want to bring one thing out. God will bless something, right? But God will bless what you put your hand to.
Nice.
You can't sit on the couch. You can't sit there and say, you know, I believe God's going to help me and he's going to bless me. He's going to anoint me. But you got to put your hand to something.
Yes.
And you got to let him bless the work of your hands. You know, he's calling laborers into the fields because they're few and far between. And so he's like, pray, ask me to help send reinforcements. And I believe this conference is doing just that, raising up men, helping sharpen them. And hey, you've got a purpose, letting men know you've got a place in the kingdom of God. Go forth and do what God's called you to.
Amen. And we've seen that, again, not because of who we are or what we're doing, except we're doing what God wants us to do. But we've heard and seen that through men who have come to this conference. Even yesterday, one of the guys that's speaking today was at one of our first conferences, and he said that was what launched him into knowing that he had a greater purpose and somewhere to serve, And now today he's one of our speakers. So how cool is
that's
that?
That's fantastic.
It's amazing, right?
Awesome.
God is good.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate you for taking a second. We're getting ready to start.
You can't hug with mics, but
we'll make it happen.
Appreciate you.
I'm Pastor Shannon, the host here, KTF Podcast. We're with Bill Ward. Greater Purpose Men's Conference. If you don't know, you need to know.
Got to be here.
That's right. Hey, guys, I'm here at the Men's Conference, Greater Purpose Men's Conference. We got Pastor Mark Brockman with us.
Hey, guys.
And I want to ask you a question. Sure. You're here to receive.
Yes,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
What are you looking to gain today by being here at this conference?
I think it's a joy just to see all of these denominations, all these brothers come together and bond for the name of Christ. I'm looking to see unity. I'm looking to see some leaders step up and to continue to form a bond with these men that we can drive the word of Christ home in the hearts of people in Gaston County.
That's right. So it's all about receiving so we can go and send out more.
You've got to fill the tank to give out.
That's right.
Yeah. I was in a class once, and I was taught, if you don't have anything in, you can't to deposit in. You got to have it in to give it out.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us here.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Amen. We're getting ready to start, and we appreciate Pastor Brock being here with us.
Thank you.
So, Zach, nice to meet you. Brian Mizell. Welcome to the KTF Podcast.
Likewise, thank you.
And I appreciate you sharing your testimony a little bit. And I wanted you to share a little bit, if you don't mind. I know it's kind of personal.
Yes.
But men battle with some certain things, right? And you hit on some things that you went through. Mm-hmm. You battled in your life as a young man.
Yes.
And that's the issue of pornography.
Yes.
And I think I wanted to, if you would, just tell men that, you know, that you had a class or something you went through or you put on or something. Share a little bit about that.
Yes, of course. So you can look it up. It's the book is called Four Pillars of Purity, by the way. Okay. It's led by some guy named Jonathan, first name, and you could search him up. He does amazing ministry across the entire nation, actually, leading workshops, empowering other churches to have small groups.
What's the name of it again?
Four Pillars of Purity. I believe his first name is Jonathan. I believe they have podcasts as well, Pillars of Purity. And so those are some great resources as well, podcasts and whatnot.
Okay, yeah. And you talked about coming from the finance world.
Yes.
And I wanted you to share a little bit about Christianity and the secular business world.
Yes.
You know, people think, well, it's hard to be a Christian and be in the finance industry, the business industry.
Yep.
But God's, you know, like this commissioner or congressman said today, you know, the Lord's putting believers in certain areas. And there's no bigger area than the banking industry than these believers, you know. So if you would share a little bit about your profession and how you got here to North Carolina.
Yeah, of course. And Brother Johnny Loftus and I were chatting a little bit, and he was thanking me again for the industry work. And I think that is true. I think the industry does need more Christian people, people to be more outspoken at work. And I think truly our work ethic and how we conduct ourselves at work, there are always small seeds we can be planting, whether we're talking to someone. You know, like I said alone, in my first interview with my boss, I said, it's a blessing to speak with you. I do church work. So instantly right there, he was gravitating. And it's almost, I was willing to take that faith, whether he's a Christian or not. Right. But I knew if one Christian could grab a latch onto another one, and now we have conversations with other Christians that are bankers in the workplace.
Exactly.
And yes, you do have to keep it quiet right now. You have companies like BlackRock and such, right? Leading ESG causes that are kind of pushing away from Christianity work
by
fueling,
that.
You know, DEI and feminism, LGBTQ agenda and whatnot. So I think there is people within the industry, and it is making yourself bold, but also being strategic and wise, asking the Lord for wisdom in how you approach conversation. There are leaders as well that are Christian.
I think we're gaining ground, you know, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. And it going back to the States, you know, I think we're seeing small victories in the Christian world and, you know, in the secular world. So, you know, I think we are gaining ground on that respect, you know, and I just applaud you for your service to the business world and for your faith.
Thank you.
You know, especially coming from Hindu. Speak about a little bit about that, you know.
Yep.
So, your father is a Pentecostal, spirit-filled man.
So let me clarify. So my dad was, born Hindu himself. I was actually the first person in my family to My dad was, again, became Christian in his 20s. I was the first person in my family to receive the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Whether you're a believer of that or not, but I am. And yeah, I was the first person to believe it and receive it. And I think the first thing, what took me, what allowed me, I guess, to get it, there was a little bit of a hindrance and block, and that was my own spirituality and faith. And it was funny because I was praying over, people were praying for me to receive it, and I wasn't receiving it. Wow. However, they asked me a simple question, what's wrong? And what's wrong? They simply asked me that. And I said, I feel I am passing what my family and parents even know about Christ. So I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And just tears started flowing from my face in that moment. And as I'm crying, I start praying to God. And then I ask him for help, Lord. And then next thing you know, I just started speaking tongues. So whether
I believe in
or not, I am, but I can say
it. Filled man myself. Yes. And I definitely believe in that. And I'll never forget. You'll never forget that first experience.
Oh, yeah. Right, goosebumps going.
Oh, yeah. I got goosebumps.
Thinking of it, yeah.
You know? And it's just a blessing to meet another believer.
Thank you.
Especially, you know, I come from my family was Mormon. Mm-hmm. So I come from a different background, you know, and when I renounced all that,
yeah,
and found the Lord.
It's not easy, right?
It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, you have to break them curses, generational curses. And
yeah.
And it's awesome that your father did that. And, you know, look at your family tree. You know, it's changed forever for the Lord. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's the Lord.
Hey, great. And my wife is Holy Spirit filled as well. So we said we're
awesome.
A couple, two kids of both parents receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time. So we can only imagine what will happen with our offspring. So
train them up in the ways of the Lord. Well, Zachary, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Glad
that you came on the podcast.
Likewise.
We'll see you again soon. And God bless you. Okay?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you can.
All right. It's just been a great experience. I've enjoyed listening to all the men of God, especially in positions where you don't expect it. And being bold for their faith, that just picked me up and helped me up.
All right. So my name's Hampton Franklin. I experienced a great amount of confirmation here today. I play music and play guitar at Finish Line Christian Center. And God gives me confirmation throughout the week. And for the music I have picked for tomorrow at our service, God actually confirmed 3 out of the 4 songs and just shows me and tells me that I've done the right thing and that I feel like he's proud of me and I take pride in that and grateful to be in this position. And all the guest speakers we had today, it just one after another hit the nail on the coffin. Everything was great, perfect. And just being here today was a blessing. I had things fighting me, not wanting to be here, keeping me away from here, but my wife handled my children and allowed me to be here and experience a life-changing display of Christianity, really.
Judge Craig Collins, and we want to welcome you here. We are actually at the Greater Purpose Men's Conference, and so you're here. You were a speaker last year. Is that correct?
I've spoken just about every year in some capacity.
Every year, okay.
I was actually out of town last year, so I did it by video.
Yes.
And this year, I'm not an actual speaker, but I will introduce some of the speakers, and excited to be part of it.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Tell us what this means for you, like, Why are you invested into this? What drives you to say, hey, I've got to be here?
Well, I just think it's so important for men to support each other, to lift each other up, to encourage each other, and encourage men of faith to share those values throughout the community and to make sure that Christ's voice is heard.
Yeah.
And that we're not just bottling that up and keeping it inside the four walls of church or the four walls of our home.
That's good. That's good. Now, you're in the political arena. You're very active in politics, but you're a man of faith. Tell us what that means and for you to be able to combine the two, because I know a lot of people are saying, they say stuff like this, well, keep your faith out of our politics. And so what's your take on that?
Well, I just don't understand how anyone who has faith and understands who defines morals, who defines everything, and that we're supposed to turn that switch off and say, I'm going to compartmentalize my faith. In this area of my life, faith matters. In this area of my life, I ignored my faith, and it doesn't exist. And I don't know how anyone who actually believes that Christ died for our sins and that we're saved by his blood can turn that switch on and off. I just don't know how that's possible.
Well, you know, there is no documents in our founding that prohibits believers in engaging in the culture.
Quite the opposite, Shannon.
Correct. But
if you look at the North Carolina Constitution, if you look at several of the state constitutions when they were founded, we're told that the founders didn't want people of faith to be involved. But it's the complete opposite. And so the founding documents tell us that our rights, where our rights come from. Our rights don't come from a document.
That's good.
The document recognizes those rights.
Yes.
It tells us where they came from.
That is so good. I really like that point. The document, Constitution, does not give us those rights. It recognizes who gives us that right. Well, that's for all of us. It's we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And so we should express our faith in God and be active in the culture. Tell us about what can the church do to be more active? What can they say? If somebody's saying, I want to get involved, I just don't know what to do, what would you tell them?
Simple. Find a political party or a candidate or a third party group that is out advocating for the values that we get from Christ. Advocating to make sure that we have Christ's voice heard in the public arena. And I'm not talking just politics. In every corner of our environment. But to make sure that we're electing good people. To make sure that when issues come up like child pornography being found in school libraries, that we have people of faith who are going to say, wait a minute, that's not acceptable.
Right.
And shockingly, that's become an issue.
Yeah.
So we need to elect people of faith. We need to elect people who understand that when you say, well, that's your version of morality. Well, that may be your definition of morality, but moral is moral.
Correct.
Immoral is immoral. You and I don't get to decide what that actually is. We get to decide what we believe is correct. You may be right. You may be wrong.
Right.
And you will find out someday. But Christ defines morality, not us. And so we want people who understand where to go. And the great thing is there's a rule book. There's a rule book to go to that'll answer every one of those questions.
Right, right.
And all you have to do is open it and read.
Amen.
And I appreciate people like you out there to pastor people, to help guide, to help really get into the Word. And direct the flock of
the church.
You got
to send them out. You got to send them out.
And then send them out.
Yeah.
Because when you help lead someone to faith and you lead them to salvation, that's wonderful. And thank you for doing that. And I know you do that on a regular basis. But then they need to go out and spread the word. And they need to continue to fight for Christ's values. We shouldn't be surprised when Christ is allowed in the public arena, when we have churches who are saying, keep Christ out of the public arena.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be surprised when that happens. So when election season comes up, make sure that you're looking at the candidates. Go out and get involved. A small group of people can change the outcome of these things. And then when we have that's issues right. come up and a government official wants to say, you can't open the doors for your church, we will have the right people there to stop it.
That's right.
Or they won't start it in the first place. Or when we have these issues in the school public libraries, that can be corrected immediately. And not have the pushback. So I think it's so vital that people of the church and Christ's people get heard and make sure that his voice is being heard.
Come on.
And so
let their voice be his voice.
100%. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors. And I think that's in every aspect of our life.
Amen.
And I think we are his voice. He doesn't come down and tell us every day out loud from a podium or a microphone or on the radio or TV.
Yeah.
He empowers us to do that for him.
Yeah.
And when we turn that off, we say, yeah, but I don't want to talk about those issues. I might offend somebody.
Yeah.
Then we're not doing the calling that we have.
Amen. Well, we appreciate you taking time to be here with us
today. Thank you so much for being here.
Amen. Thanks for being here at the conference and on our podcast. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to the KTF podcast. I'm your co-host, B. Mizzle, and I got with us today, George Zambrada. He just gave a speech at the Greater Purpose Conference, and he really blessed my soul. I want to appreciate you for sharing that. And I just want to ask you to highlight on some of the comments you made, on education.
Yes.
You're saying that the elitists are trying to dumb down the students and the kids. I got four kids in school, public schools. And I hear some of the things that's being taught and being said. They're just in high school. They're not even made it to the college level yet. But my question would be, how do we overcome that? Is it by elections private school, homeschool? What do you think? What do you recommend for the education?
Well, this has been a very long process that started in the 1930s here in the U.S., believe it or not.
Really?
With the Frankfurt School, when they moved to the U.S., and then they designed this, and it became an export during the 60s to the whole world. So this has been implemented in the whole planet, little by little. So I would say that the first step start to homeschool children.
Yeah.
Because the educational system is already very corrupt.
Yeah.
Secondly, people should get involved in their communities.
Yeah.
To to try to change from grassroots movements all these educational systems and education boards. And that's a way that we can clean it from the bottom up. Then also people that are passionate for the Lord, passionate for education and for preserving the Judeo-Christian values should get involved and run for offices in different levels.
I agree with that.
That's the way the changes start, because otherwise we will not be able to change anything.
You know, it's
and
good to...
also guard it, because as Ronald Reagan said once, it takes just one generation to destroy the foundations.
Yes.
So we need to stay there and protect it. It's the only way.
Well, you know, I haven't given up on this younger generation, Gen Zs or whatever you call them now. You know, a lot of people throw them to the side, but I see a remnant in there. You know, I see some Billy Grahams in there, some Oral Roberts coming back.
The Lord always preserves a remnant.
Yes, and always a remnant. And I believe America's not done yet. You know, I believe there's a... What we do is we pave the way for others, right?
I agree, and I usually say wherever I'm invited to speak that the U.S., especially the south of the U.S., is the last bastion of freedom for the world.
Yes. So you're a missionary, correct?
Yes, I am.
So you go all over the world sharing the gospel, helping out?
Not all over the world. My wife and I have a missionary team, and we've done missions in the Colombian and Venezuelan Amazon.
Okay.
We've gone to very deep areas in the jungle to reach out to people who are in need or who need the gospel.
Right.
And also to train them in Matthew 28, Amen. 18 to 20, that the message is for all of us to take.
Amen.
Because they have received the gospel for many years, and this time I think it's the right time for them after 5 decades of receiving the gospel for them to go. Because unlike you and me, they speak the languages of those tribes deep in the Amazon. They are capable to reach those people we can't.
Amen.
So the message is for them as well to go.
That's right. Well, I'd like to get some information from you, because we're looking to build our missions platform. So we're trying to make connections on places to go. So that'd be really good. Another question I had, the elections not being honest. You mentioned Georgia. Was you talking about the country Georgia or
the runoff elections in 2022 for the candidates in Georgia, USA?
Okay, the state of Georgia.
Yes.
Okay, I'm originally from Georgia. I got family. All my family's from Georgia, and I remember back in the 2020 elections. You know, they're shutting the countdown at night, you know, putting tape, paper over the windows.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I told my wife right then, I said, this isn't good. This is not good. I said, this isn't. And sure enough, you could watch the numbers of 300,000, just like an even number, 300,000. I'll never forget that number. Flip, you know, went to the blue side. And I was like, there's some corruption going. We just never expected it. You know, we thought, everybody just assumed the elections were honest. And how do we overcome that? How do we, same way, elect us?
It's a very hard thing to overcome, because we are getting too used to technology.
Yeah.
And decades ago, Bill Gates himself said that any system that is run by computers can be switched. So that's what they do with the numbers. We've seen it happen in Venezuela, and I am addicted to news. So I saw in the news in Philippines that this happened too long time ago, when they had these very same machines, and the people who designed and implemented the machine voting in Philippines guaranteed the president that the elections were going to be clean. They were not. He held them in court, and he told them on national TV, "You liars told me that you would guarantee the elections and that nobody could tweak with the machines, and this happened."
Yeah.
He even told them some swear words on national TV. because he was so angry.
Right.
So that happened there. It's happened in Venezuela. It's happened wherever they have machines. And also, we need to be careful with voter ID. It's necessary.
Yes.
It's the best way that we can preserve clean elections.
Yes. You know, I had a friend of mine, his father went through the TSA line here in Charlotte the other day, and they asked for his ID. He's from Maryland or somewhere up north. He said, why do you need my license? I don't have to have my license to vote in my home state. Why do you need it now? So you got to have it to get in back and forth on airplanes, and you got to have a license to buy a fishing license.
Exactly.
You know, but here we're saying that you don't have to have an ID to vote. I mean, come on.
Well, the most important thing.
It's sad, really. But I think we got a kindred spirit, kind heart. You know, we kind of feel the same way when you're sharing some things. So that's why I asked you to come on. And it's been a blessing. I hope you come back, and I hope we get connected and we can have you some more and go in some deeper conversations.
Thank you, sir.
And Pastor Shannon, he's our main host. And he asked me to jump in. I jump on the podcast with him, but it's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to have you, and we'll see you again soon.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Cheers.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too.
My name is Curtis Carroll, and just being here and just getting confirmation from other men and how God's moving in their lives and everything, and seeing how we should all be just moved by God and just seeing everything that's going on and just knowing that I've got power and strength in him and just being able to push forward and seeing these other men out here that are actually doing things for the Lord. That just gives me just strength and just to carry on. And next time I come, I'm bringing even more people with me.
What really hit me was not just about self-esteem, but Christ esteem, and really just being who we are called to be as men, knowing that we were all born for such a time as this, knowing that we all have a plan and a purpose that God has called us to, and to just rise up.
Good afternoon. I'm here with the KTF podcast, and I'm here with a good friend, an awesome man of God, and a North Carolina representative, Donnie Loftus. We want to welcome you to the KTF podcast. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today.
Absolutely. Tell us what district you're in, who you represent, and then I'm going to ask you a few other questions.
Okay. I represent District 109, which is Belmont, Cramerton, and most of Gastonia. Usually around Highway 74 South, all the way to South Carolina.
Okay. Now, in your history of being in politics, what does coming to this conference, your faith in God, how does that impact what you do when you go and represent the people?
One of the things it makes me do is vote my conscience first. Every time I mash the button, and that's well over 1,000 times.
Wow.
I have made sure I have satisfied my conscience. I vote my district second, and I vote my caucus third.
Okay.
So being a Christian is vitally important of who's making the decisions for North Carolina. I serve with about 40 other strong conservative Christians that we're going to vote our conscience first. Then we vote our district. Then we vote our caucus.
Right.
So being a preacher's kid already gave me the background of life revolves around a biblical worldview. And now I get the chance to represent 10,800,000 people every time I mash the button.
That is huge. So you said that your dad was a preacher.
Uh-huh.
How was that impacting growing up? At having a father who was a man of faith, and what did that do for you, and how did that help shape you into who you are?
In most cases, preachers' kids kind of, they get full of being at church every time the doors are unlocked.
Yeah.
So we really have a twin brother, an older brother. We were there every time. So it set the standard, hearing my dad pray for us as his sons, praying for other people. Not just at church, but at home.
Yeah.
That prayer life was critically important, that it really led his ministry to impact people for over 43 years. He was a pastor.
Wow. You're going to be one of the speakers here today at the Greater Purpose Men's Conference. Can you give us a sneak peek of what you're going to share? I won't tell nobody.
I would say what I'm going to share is, would this make a difference in your life? Did you come here and sit all afternoon with us did you gain one thing that makes a difference in your life? Okay. Was it worthwhile?
Yeah.
And then challenge them to be the one individual who leads from the front.
Yeah.
Be that guy that'll be out there leading my home, leading where I work at, leading in everyday life. I don't believe you have to beat people over the head with a Bible to tell them you're a Christian. What's in here is going to come out.
Come out, right?
Whether you like it or not, what's right here coming out.
They say the best sermons aren't preached. The best sermons are lived.
That's correct.
Lived out in front of us.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And as an elected official, I can't legislate morality. That would be great if I could.
Yeah.
But I know there is a lot of people who are conservative Christians who want our nation to turn away from where it's headed. And I can tell you, in North Carolina, we have that opportunity, and we've already, last year, I got to vote for the first time in 50 years. We lowered the weeks of abortion from 20 to 12.
Yes.
That saved over 3,000 babies a year.
Wow.
We wanted to do a heartbeat bill.
Yeah.
But it was more difficult because you have to have the votes. And once you can pass it, you got to have the veto override votes to override the governor's veto.
Yeah.
So we managed to move from 20 to 12, depending on Christian people showing up to vote.
Y'all hear this. Now, listen to this man and what he's saying right
now. Conservative Christian people have to show up in November. You can't take a pass. You can't stay at home.
Yeah.
If you want your government to change, you have to be an engaged person. That means register to vote, learn who's running, what they run on, what's their platform, and then vote your biblical worldview with conservative Christian candidates. And we can maybe move that from 12 weeks to 6 weeks, which will save 5,000 babies per year.
Wow. Wow.
Can you imagine 5,000 more little babies saved per year? And eventually, I'm a zero.
Yes.
I'm a zero guy.
Thank you for saying that, because I've had several politicians that I've encountered, and I'm a pastor, so I'm a pro-life, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's what I believe, and so I've asked the question, and a lot of them have kind of
danced around it
a little. And so for you to say that, I really appreciate you taking that stance and saying I would love to see no abortions in North Carolina.
This vote last year was very critical, and I spoke with my pastor, and I prayed about it, prayed through it. I said, I don't want to vote for a 12-week bill. I want 6 weeks. And I thought, what if I'm the 61st vote who voted against it, and the bill fails, and now we're stuck at 20 weeks again?
Yeah.
And I said, I can't take that chance. I'll take my 8 weeks sooner, move it back 8 weeks, save 3,000. And the good Lord will give us the opportunity to impact the other ones when we get that chance.
Yeah. So here in North Carolina, we still have a long way to go when it comes to abortion. I did some research, and so I want to share this with the people.
Sure.
Over 19,000 people traveled into North Carolina since Roe v. Wade passed to have their abortions, because a lot of other states touching us, they've banned it.
So now
they are actually traveling here to get those abortions. And so that's a cause for concern.
Yes.
That North Carolina, that we're known for that, you know. And so I appreciate your stance, and we're praying. We need to continue to pray and ask the Lord to continue to help us decrease this number of weeks.
And as a pastor, you can quietly and gently lead your people to understand who those candidates are.
Yeah.
Because they make the law.
Yes.
I want to be one of those people who make the law from a biblical worldview that has a conscience.
Amen.
That I represent Christ through my votes.
That's right.
So,
well, thank you so much for being
absolutely
here with us. We appreciate you
thank
taking
you.
The time. God bless you.
Absolutely.
And we'll be praying for you.
Absolutely. Amen.
Hey, everybody. We have with us here on the KTF podcast, right here at the Greater Purpose Men's Conference, we have Molded Clay. They were here with us today and had an awesome set, different songs, music, and singing. So we want to actually give them an opportunity to sing for you right now. Here we go. Molded Clay.
This sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
If anybody wants to get in touch with you guys and say, hey, we'd like to have you at our church, how can they get in touch with you guys?
They can go on our website, www.wearemoldedclay.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. All our phone numbers and contact information are on the website. It's the best way to get us, though.
Awesome. Thanks for being here with us.
Sir.